Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to the study session, May City Council, for Thursday, May 21st, 2009. First item on our agenda is to hear a report and discuss the meet and discuss. So we're going to discuss, meet and discuss. Start the discussion.
Are we missing one on purpose?
We are. I don't know where Councilmember Richens is. I'm sure he'll show up forthwith. Or soon. Or anytime. One of the three. Mr. Manning.
Good morning, Mayor and Council.
Ms. Trish, the floor is yours.
Well, thank you. I'm Tricia Sorensen, Assistant to the City Manager. With me is Gary Manning, Human Resources Director. We're here today to give you a report on the annual meet and discuss process that management holds every year with employee groups. We've got some members of the employee groups here in case you have questions for them either during the presentation or after the presentation. The city's had a management policy for approximately 5 years now that formalized a process that we've had for several years where we meet with representatives and employee groups to hear their issues and discuss those issues and maybe come to some resolutions. The proposals that the groups put together usually come between November and January of the year. The three groups that we typically deal with and we dealt with this year were the Mesa Police Association, or MPA, the Fraternal Order of Police, FOP, and Mesa United Firefighters from the Fire Department. Those are the three groups. Hopefully you've got the report in your packet and have had a chance to look that over. I'd just like to kind of summarize the process, the timeline, go through some of the key items that were in that list, and then open it up for discussion or questions, and instead of me going through all 30 proposals, which I'm more than happy to do if you want me to do. But the timeline typically is between November and January. We request proposals from the groups. The proposals are due by January the 1st. Once we get the proposals, we take some time to look them over, do some research. We may contact the union reps asking for clarification on some items that they've submitted. In February of this year, that's when we did that. Then in March, we met with the three groups individually, went through their items, discussed them, got clarification. We then went back and did some more research. We drafted a management response, sent it out to the three groups, and then we met with them to go over that response again before we finalized it and sent it out to you. We typically try and do this in the time frame of getting the budget in place because some of the items that the groups submit have a monetary impact to them. So we try and have that discussion as early on as possible to see how we can fit it into the budget or if we can't fit it into the budget. This year, a total of 30 issues were raised by the three groups. The three groups all got the reports that you have in front of you, so they've seen not only what they put in, but what the other groups have put in. I will say that our discussions this year were tempered by the economic conditions that we're facing. All three groups recognized that. It made the discussions, I think, a little bit easier because everybody understood that, although it also made it more difficult because it challenged us to kind of discuss some of the things that they wanted. I would break down the 30 issues into those with a financial impact, either dealing with salary, wages, or benefits, and those that were more administrative, operational policy issues. What I'd like to do is kind of go over some of the higher or the more broad monetary impact items, but we are more than willing to discuss any of the 30 items that we've got in front of you. All three groups, their top priority was restoration of the 2% pay reduction and the merit increases. We discussed that. As management said, that's a top priority for the city manager to restore the 2% budget reduction and the merits. Unfortunately, given the economic conditions that we're facing right now, we can't take that action at this time. What we did tell them is that it is a top priority, but we have to look at that when the financial situation turns around and when our economic situation is such that it's viable and sustainable that we can restore the 2% merits and the 2% pay reduction and the merits, and they understood that. Another item that they wanted was to review last year's plan to implement the COLA and the market adjustment. I think the previous council had discussed that. I'm not sure. I can't remember if we had any discussions with you. I know it wasn't part of the budget, but the plan had been that this past January. We were going to do a market adjustment for PD in December of 08 with a potential 5% increase in January of 09. We did not do that market adjustment because that's when the financial situation and the economy went south. We haven't done that market adjustment. Our plan is to do one once things turn around. At this point in time, I don't know how beneficial it would be because we don't know what the other cities are going to end up doing with their budgets, and that could impact any market salary that we do. So it's still on the books to do. It's just we're waiting until things kind of settle down and things get better, and then we will go back and do that and potentially come back to council at some point in time with that discussion. Another item that all three groups asked for was an increase in holiday and or personal day hours from 8 to 10. And I think this stems from our move to go to a 4-10 schedule. A lot of employees, because, you know, right now they get 16 hours of personal day, which equals two 8-hour days, and they get a holiday based on 8-hour days. And so they wanted to bump that up to 10 to match the 10-hour workday that we have now. What we reiterate is we will look at this. We will explore it. We don't know what the financial impact is at this time, but we did say that we aren't asking people to work more hours. They're still working 40 hours a week. They're still working 2,080 hours a year. So all it means is that they have to adjust how they use that 16 hours of personal leave time and holiday.
Yeah, I thought that when we were presenting the four-hour work, or the four-hour, hello.
Wow. We like that.
Well, I sign up. The four-day work week, that we had moved from a day-based tracking system to an hour-based tracking system.
Yes, we have.
To avoid this very issue or to get around it, because you can't go on a one day, it's an 8-hour type of thing, and that you track it by hours.
Correct. And we've made it more flexible for employees to take time off.
Partial time, yeah.
As opposed to full. Yes.
And that was the trade-off, is that rather than forcing someone to take the entire day, that they could take 2 hours or 1 hour, so they would not lose those benefits. And actually, if they wanted to leave early on a on a Friday, which is now Thursday, which is now the holiday, whatever it is, that they would be able to, that was the trade-off, that yes, it is a little bit more cumbersome perhaps, but there is an additional benefit, because you can take off 2 or 3 hours early and not have it count against you because you've banked that time.
And we have done that. They have
so
that.
So how would that
now
fit in if this were adopted where it went back to a day? How does that coexist?
Really, Mayor, at the end of the day, it's just a request for additional time, personal leave,
yes,
hours.
Okay.
So
instead
that's,
of a
bank, that's what it
16
comes
hours,
to
they'd have 20.
Okay.
Two years. So we said that we would research that and come back after we look at that. Another issue that a couple of the groups brought up was they wanted to change the retiree health care. As you know, we made a change in January of this year based on our OPEB, our other post-employment benefits liability that we have, which is $664 million. We made that change in January of this year. Some of the groups want us to rethink that and maybe come up with some other alternatives. Another group wanted us to look at spouses maintaining coverage after their spouse dies, if their spouse was the employee. And we said we would look at that. What we're going to do is get with all three groups and discuss OPEB and some options. We've asked them to come forth with us with some alternatives that they might want to present to management to explore in terms of how we deal with this. If we added the spouses into the mix, it's another $31.5 million to our OPEB liability, which would bring us up to about $700 million.
Yeah, Councilmember Higgins.
Thank you. I'm not sure I understand how the health care works for retirees in the system. When a firefighter, police officer retires and they're 45 years old, and they can retire, right, have 20 years or certain thing, we cover their health care needs forever. Yep. Now, if that person, like, gets employed with another company, do they have the option of, going with the new health care from the new company, yet when they retire, really retire at age 60 or something, coming back to the MESA system? Or do they have to hang on to the MESA system forever in order to actually retire and have MESA insurance?
You know, Councilmember Higgins, when a firefighter retires or when a police officer retires, they retired under the public safety retirement system, which is a more lucrative system than ASRS. Once that happens and they meet those qualifications, they also have to meet the qualifications for retirement for the City of Mesa. Now, retirement for the City of Mesa has changed a little bit over the years, and it really depends on when they were hired. Sometimes an employee, based on their hire date, only has to have 10 years of service. At other times, they have to have 20 years of service. Currently, it does require 20 years of service, but once they've had 20 years of service with the City of Mesa and they meet the requirements for PSPRS, then they can retire, and the City of Mesa does offer those lifetime retiree benefits. Now, if they go to another organization, they can choose to waive their medical benefits under the City of Mesa and go with the other employer. We typically don't see that. Most of the time, the other employer's benefits aren't nearly as lucrative as what we offer, but they can waive those retiree benefits if they'd like.
But they couldn't come back later?
They cannot come back later. That's right. Once it's waived, they're done.
So is that something to look at? I mean, if there's a, you know, there might be a 15-year time frame where someone could be working for another company, but in reality, they would like to go with the Mesa Insurance when they're retired.
Well, they're not forced to go with the other company's
health plan. No, you know, but I mean, if there's some way that it could be more flexible where someone could actually have options and save us money along the way, yet come back when they retire, you know, really retire from work.
From the other organization that
yes.
they're working with, and they want to come back and participate in our benefits
right.
at that point? I guess it's something that we could look at. I guess we'd have to look at that return on investment.
Well, I'm still trying to get over your comment or understand your comment that we very rarely have people who retire at, let's say, you know, an early age, 45. Now I think it's young.
Yeah.
I hope it's young. I mean, that they rarely move off of our retiree health plan because what I hear you say is that, let's say they go out and work for a large company or any company mm-hmm. full-time, that rarely are the health benefits of that full-time employment better than what they get as a retiree. I mean, is that
I don't know. It's hard to know that answer to a certain degree.
Sure.
We're very competitive in our benefits.
It's that they don't want to fall into the situation that Councilmember Higgins is talking about. They don't want to give up those in case that they leave.
And this is the first time I've heard. This has never been brought up from any group that I've heard. But maybe, I don't know, Gary, is this something that you've been approached by?
No.
Whether it's a public safety employee or even civilian employees, is that something that you're aware of?
That's not really. Most of the time when they retire and they get our benefits, they hang on to those for life.
Because they don't want to lose those. Yeah. My guess is they don't want to lose those. And so even if they go with another company,
right.
they'll hang on to the program they have because they don't know how long that employment's going to last and
right.
how long they'll have that thing. So they might as well hang on
but
to something that they
so
have.
So it sounds like the question is, would it be more beneficial to us to allow someone to go in and out of our system?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's something we could look at. I don't know that we've ever, I'm not sure
I've
ever
I've never
heard that
I don't
question,
know,
but we could
so.
Well,
certainly
I,
look at it.
It would never be brought up because we never would allow somebody to come back in.
Yeah, I just don't know if anybody's asked us about that possibility, but we could look into
it. But I mean, if you looked sure. at it and they say, well, it's going to cost me the same, yet I'm going to save the city money that was loyal to me for 20-some years or whatever. You know, there could be instances where you'd go with another your new employer for a while, but you know, the City of Mesa really had a better long-term plan.
Right.
Just a question.
Be happy to
look into
it.
Yeah.
See, you bet.
Thanks.
So we will be meeting with the three groups. We're trying to schedule that meeting right now for sometime in June, hopefully early June, to have those discussions about OPIT and maybe some other alternatives they would like us to consider. So we will be having that meeting. Another issue was funding overtime for court for police personnel, sworn personnel. I'm happy to say that is in the proposed budget. Right now, pending reimbursement from Phoenix Mesa Gateway for police coverage at the airport. That's a total of approximately $334,000. So right now that is in the budget, pending that negotiation. Another one was allowing probationary employees to be eligible for our IIP program, our industrial injury program. Currently, you're not eligible until you pass probation after 1 year. We agreed with this request, and we will be changing our policy to enable employees at the time of hire to be eligible for the IEP program. I will say we looked at this, and in 2008 we had 15 employees who were injured during their probationary period with the city. Five of those were with fire and five were with police. So we will be making that change to the IIP program, taking that out. And then the last one I'd like to
Trisha,
talk about.
Trisha, just real quickly, can we explain what that benefit is? I mean, they are covered by workers' comp, but Gary, why don't you explain what the city's additional benefit on top of that is?
IIP stands for the Industrial Injury Program, and it is an additional benefit that the city of Mesa provides. The intent is to offset the wages that may be lost by an injured worker who's been injured on the job. Now, they still continue to receive workers' compensation benefits, and workers' comp is set by state statute at 66 2/3% of a set wage, and it used to be $2,500, and I think it's gone up from there. But whatever they get from workers' compensation, we take a look at their base wage, and we try to make up 90% of the difference from what they ordinarily would be making were it not for the injury.
Mm-hmm. So we will be taking that probationary period out of the requirement. And then the last one I'd like to talk about is FIRE asked that we increase bereavement leave from 30 hours to 48 hours so it would cover two full shifts. We looked at what other cities were doing, and we were going ahead and approve this one as well. The other issues are basically administrative, operational issues, but we'd be more than happy to talk about any of those if you'd like. Next steps for us, we're going to be meeting with representatives of three groups to talk about OPEB. Hopefully in the next few weeks we'll be setting that meeting up. We're going to have to formalize some of the changes we've agreed to in terms of changing either management policies, ordinances, the personnel rules. Some of these will come back to the council because some of these items like
The bereavement leave
and the IIP program are in personnel rules. So at some point in the future, we will be coming back to you with those proposed changes in the personnel rules with some other changes as well, probably. And then we're going to spend the next few months conducting research on some of the items that were submitted this year and research and explore those options as well. And with that, I'll open it up. We've got some representatives here from the three groups. If you have any questions, we're happy to answer.
Councilmember Kavanaugh, I think, has some questions.
Thank you. I want to compliment both management and the employee groups for approaching this in a positive way during difficult economic times. I think the report reflects a reasoned approach to look at issues, both from a fiscal standpoint and a policy standpoint. I want to compliment you on that. I guess from my own perspective on the issues that you presented, the one that still remains pretty important to me to continue looking at is the merit pay issue, because that does tend to affect our newest employees in a pretty challenging way. It doesn't affect our longtime employees or people who are topped out, but that, I think, needs to still continue to be an item for us to look at in the budget, whether it's something that we can find a way to include it from the beginning point of the budget or a later point in the fiscal year to minimize the fiscal impact. There may be some other alternatives for us to look at. I also think it's beneficial for you to continue the discussions on the administrative process, particularly in terms of areas where employee representation can be permitted in some of the discussions. I think it's important to have a fair process that appears fair to all. Certainly sometimes management may have different perspectives from employees and vice versa, but certainly to the public, I think the public expects that we have a fair process. There's long been issues with our personnel appeals board that go back decades in terms of the equity of the process that we have. The process that we have is very different from most communities, and most communities have a more independent personnel appeal process. And again, so I think, but that may require charter change or other issues for us to look at, but I think it's positive to at least talk about the issues that surround the nature of the process that we have, if there are areas for us to improve, if there are best practices that other communities or employers have adopted to help resolve conflicts. But I think that this is a very positive report and discussion, and I appreciate all the work that everybody's done on it. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Council Member. Yeah, Council Member Fenter?
Appreciate too the process, and when you were describing the initial goal of management to look at that 2% and also the merit pay, used that one sentence, and so I appreciate that would be the priority. Obviously these are difficult financial times, and I think everybody realizes that. With regard to number 7 on the On the second page, number 7, review final draft of proposed personnel rules. Is there a timeline that we would be looking at? I realize that everybody's been under a lot of stress trying to deal with these difficult financial times. Do we know about how long it would take to look at last year's changes and get those implemented into the personnel rules?
Councilmember Fenter, we had a conversation with the city manager just the other day, and we're going to be gearing those back up again now. And you're right, what we'll need to do is go back and look at the proposed changes that we had intended for last year and then add some of these new changes as a result of meet and discuss. The personnel rule process takes roughly 90 days. We meet with management and go over it. We talk with the employee groups. We then have to go to a group called the Merit Board who approves those changes, and then we come to all of you and review those changes both individually for any questions that you may have, and then we come to the full body for the vote. It roughly takes about 90 days, and we're going to be gearing up on that right away.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mayor.
Yeah, Councilmember Higgins.
Thank you. Number 4, you guys mentioned on the second page or first page, healthcare. You brought up healthcare benefits for spouses of employees. What is the current process if an employee passes away when he's retired, the spouse is dropped from the insurance plan?
Councilmember Higgins, I'm going to have to go back and find out really what the stipulations are with regard to spouses. I really don't know at the moment.
And then I just wondered if...
I think I recall that they're kept for like 6 months on the plan, and then they have 30 months of COBRA. And then after that, they switch over to the health care plan for either ASRS or PSRS. But I can get those, firm up the months
that
for you.
That sounds about right, but I'm not sure.
And, it'd be interesting to note what the individual cost would be. Difference?
For adding the spouses?
No,
to the...
like if once we dump them, how much they personally, what their change is for them? Because I didn't realize there was another system after Mesa.
Yeah, right.
We can look at that. I think what we looked at was the impact on our other post-employment benefits, and that was $31.5 million in 2005, so it's probably a little bit more than that right now.
And that would just be between, like, their retirement age and age where, like, Medicare would pick up?
No, it's beyond that.
Or all the way out?
Once we give health care benefits, it's usually for life.
Right.
So we would have to look at actuarially the life of what spouses would be, and they're ordinarily not covered.
They do drop considerably when Medicare kicks in.
Right.
Okay. That would be interesting to find out.
Okay.
Thank you.
Councilmember Summers.
Thank you. And I'd like to thank Mr. Brady and his staff for all the work. It's been a very tough year financially and trying to work through this process with an extremely tight budget and a really untenuous fiscal situation. A lot of unanswered questions. We just don't know what the budget's going to look like next year given the challenges that the state is having and how that might put some of our state shared revenues at risk. So it makes it really difficult to put a budget together and deal with these kind of issues, particularly with pay and benefits, when you don't know what the fiscal impact is going to be from all this yet. Hopefully, we're coming out of this. As we do, I would concur with Mr. Cavanaugh that we look at a little bit differently the 2% salary reduction, which of course we'd want to get back as quickly as possible because, once again, we've balanced a budget in some respects on the shoulders of employees. But the merit pay is a concern for me because it impacts, like Mr. Cavanaugh says, it impacts those newer starting employees or middle-level employees, the lowest paid employees more than it impacts top management or anybody who's topped out in their rank. One of the challenges also for those young employees are promotions are frozen, special positions are frozen. So these are officers that may try to get training. There's hazmat positions that I don't know that we're promoting too many in the fire department, captains or chiefs right now. I don't think we're testing for chief or sergeant. You're looking at me funny like that may not be the case.
We haven't suspended promotions.
We're still promoting?
That's good.
People are still retiring.
Are we promoting for, are we testing for chief? I thought we...
For chief.
Battalion chief. Did we suspend that test?
No, those promotional testings are...
We're having people
retire.
Yeah. Last memo I saw, we were...
As we've cut positions, you know, there may not be as many...
Opportunities,
but we're
encouraging. The last time I saw,
I think I've read in the thing we've had several, certainly at the captain level in the fire department, we've had probably four or five retire or going to retire just this month
alone.
Are we
promoting to those?
Yeah, Councilmember Summers, that has not stopped. There may be fewer opportunities for those promotions, but both the police department and the fire department are continuing through that testing and selection process.
Oh, that's
for
good
promotions.
News. I was mistaken. That's good to hear. I'm very glad to hear that. At least there's some opportunities there. Very encouraged by that then. But still, with the merit pay then, it's still, it impacts our lower, our entry-level positions more than impacts everybody. I like to see things at least impact everybody as equally as possible.
Well, and Councilmember Summers, one of the concerns that was raised by the employee groups was the fact that we may lose our competitive edge with some of the other cities if they do something different than what we are. And I guess if there's any comfort, it's the fact that the other cities are having as much financial difficulty or a good share of it as what we are. So I'm in contact with a lot of the other HR directors from the other cities, and we're trying to coordinate with one another about who's giving what and when, and hopefully we're keeping a careful watch to make sure that we don't lose our competitive edge on that.
That is certainly going to, it's going to depend on how we come out of this. If if we are as skilled and adept as in managing that process as we were with managing the decline in the revenues, that we should be all right, because it's how we restore these things and remain competitive as the economy improves. So, but that's one of the things we need to be looking at. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. We'll move to item number 2, which is to hear reports on meetings and our conferences attended. Do we have any reports?
I wanted to mention we attended the NETCO open house yesterday. Was it yesterday? I guess. It's been a very long week. Terry Benelli, the executive director of NETCO, had an open house for her new location, which is right on 12 North Center, which is actually on the corner of Main Street and Center. So NETCO has been brought downtown to be more available.
More downtownish.
More downtownish. So we welcome yet one more business to the downtown. And I will let someone else share the other event we attended.
Councilmember Richens, since it happened in your area, in your district, why don't you report on that?
We held a ribbon-cutting ceremony for the Hyatt Place Hotel, which is located at Mesa Riverview near the Cinemark and the Loft Office buildings. It was a really well-attended event. The lobby was packed, and the hotel is quite nice. Very impressive. Now I finally have a place to put my in-laws when they come to town. Just kidding.
Wow.
Comfortably.
Complete statements.
You know, you're raising expectations. My in-laws are now going to expect to move out of the old army tent I pitch in the backyard. Yesterday, I had the opportunity of attending a very nice ceremony to announce the name of the new children's hospital at Banner Desert, on the Banner Desert campus. If you haven't seen that, it's quite impressive to drive down Dobson and Southern and see that new building rising on the southwest corner. And it's great that it'll now be called the Cardin Children's Medical Center after the Cardin family, a longtime Mesa family. What was really great was as we watched the list of major donors is to see that nearly all of them were Mesa-based Mesa families. And it's a great compliment and tribute to our community that we have supported things such as this, and it's truly an impressive facility, not only physically, but when you look at the programs that they're going to be offering, the personnel, medical personnel they're attracting, it will truly be a top-notch facility with incredibly effective, hopefully, programs and offerings. So I think that's slated for opening late summer, early fall.
November 2nd,
I guess that's early fall. So yesterday was the the naming ceremony. Yes, I'm thinking. Miss Cindy Crawford was there. She's very tall, and I stayed away from her because there is a law of physics that two supermodels cannot be in the same place at the same time. So I kept my distance from
her. Who's the second one?
Oh,
I just got it out.
Gee, Councilmember. So that was a great event. Councilmember Kavanaugh.
Thank you. Also on Tuesday night, four of us were able to attend the reception for MacFest, bringing together the volunteers and the artists and city staff who worked so hard to make this ongoing event very much of a success. And there was a lot of great recognition of the people who had participated in that and plans for next year to make it bigger and better. And it was very rewarding to see all those members of the community who have supported that operation. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Good. Mr. Brady.
Just a reminder to the council that our next study session will be May 28th. And following the study session, we have a scheduled audit and finance committee meeting. And also that after evening on May 28th is, as we mentioned previously, District 1 Building Stronger Neighborhood meeting at 6:30. And I'll be at Edison Elementary School. Thank you.
Okay. Do we have any requests to speak?
No requests at all.
We have one request to speak.
Yeah.
Mr. Soler, you may speak.
Good morning, Mayor, Council. Brian Soler, President of the Mesa Fraternal Order of Police. I'd just like to talk about merit pay, and I know I've talked to everybody in this room about it. It is our top priority. We do not want to see merit pay frozen if it is at all possible. We fear that we could lose our younger cream of the crop officers to other agencies once they start hiring because they lateral transfers save them a lot of money. When an officer leaves here, we lose about $120,000, $125,000 in training. And if we freeze merit pay, there will be no real incentive for the younger officers not to look elsewhere. And that is our fear, that we might have some of our cream of our crop go to other departments. So the Mesa Fraternal Order of Police just wants to go on record as saying if there is any way possible not to freeze merit pay, especially for several of the key positions in the police department like sworn police officers, dispatchers, 911 operators, and some of our lab technicians that are highly educated positions where we could lose them to other departments or other cities because of the frozen merit pay. So that is one thing that we really would like council to take a really hard look at and maybe even look outside of the box and make some concessions where we allow merit pay in the police department for certain positions. And that's all I have to say. Thank you. No questions.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you. Okay. Next session. Nothing else, so we have a motion to move into an executive session, a second by Councilmember Summers. All in favor?
Aye.
We are now moving into executive session. Thank you very much.